This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
It's the corner where the troops at.
Is this the passing of the torch, right? Is this what this signifies?
It comes down to that front office and what they feel is most important.
The champ is here. We've touched down from a higher plane. Why you made it here?
We always look forward to that week because it was always intense.
You know that we ain't coming back. We got to.
The man, the myth, the legend, Dante Hall. My favorite player growing up was Dante Hall. I love you guys and show, but Dante was my guy.
Get to dashing because you're done on the war feet.
This episode of Chief Concerns is brought to you by BetOnline.ag. Marcus Dash here. And ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, this is the best time of the year. Our Chiefs may not be playing right now, but you got NHL playoffs, NBA playoffs, even though my Sixers are unfortunately out. But still, a lot of stuff to be bet on. BetOnline is your number one source for all your summer sports this season. From MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoffs. All the latest stats, news, and scores are available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds, lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Remember, bet online where the game starts. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Chief Concerns. I'm Marcus Dash here with legendary Chiefs tight end Jason Dunn, who I'm just seeing right now, JD, from Susan's comment. You literally just got back from Cincinnati?
I did. Yeah, we did. Yeah, we just got back from Cincinnati. And so, fresh off the road, brother. my thing is, every time we go up to Cincinnati, I'm always just thinking about how much they hate the Chiefs. So I go up there, I wear my Chiefs stuff proudly. I love it. You know, I know it, people be looking at me like, who is this guy? You know, they keep wearing the Chiefs hat and stuff there for. So I go up there, of course, and I represent. But yeah, we just got off the road from Cincinnati. We had some business stuff there we had to do today. But I'm doing well. It's a beautiful day today. Beautiful day today. Like I said, I always repping. I don't care where I go. I'm always going to rep this hat right here, the Chiefs. It's always going to happen. That's who I'm going to be always. So, how's it going? How you doing tonight?
I can't complain, man. We got our show tonight. We got, there's a lot of good stuff cooking from, different press conferences, some of the stuff from the interview I did with Nazi on Saturday. Just kind of a packed day as far as, as we get closer to stuff, mandatory minicamp. Well, mandatory for some people, like guys like Aaron Rodgers, I guess, not so mandatory for him. But I don't know if you saw that Rodgers didn't go to mandatory minicamp.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw.
As a guy who played in the NFL, when a quarterback, your starting quarterback does not go to mandatory minicamp, that's not a good look. A lot of people are trying to say it's overblown by the media, but like, JD, that's your leader.
It's a head scratcher for sure. I couldn't see it. It would definitely be, if Trent wasn't there, and I'm just like, well, what's going on? How come Trent there? Had to be something when I'm talking about it important that you had to miss something like that. But that's what they're saying right now, that it was an important deal. He spoke about it earlier to the coaches, so they're trying not to make it a big deal. Obviously, that's what they're gonna downplay it. Just so you can stop the controversy, everybody, they don't want anything coming to, their golden boy, Aaron Rodgers, right? Yeah. So he's got plenty of controversy around his name anyway. I heard Colin Cowherd talking about, like, man, he's given me at least 6 weeks of material just talking about him. So I love it, Wendy. Wendy comes right back with it. Rodgers is...
I mean, she's not wrong.
he's a special dude. He's a special dude, man. Let me say what's up to everybody in the chat tonight. What's up? Oh, what's up, sweetie? I see you. My baby right there. Susan, what's up, Wendy? I'm DeBram. my brother, good seeing you. Andrea, Lewis Cuthbert. Let me see, who else? Maria, Lego my ego. Lewis, hope you had a great birthday, my man. Gary Holland, good to see you, my brother. Donna, let me see, who else? Pretty much the usual suspects. So I don't know, About Time is in here. Good to see you, About Time. So Harama Biff, traveling man, what's going on, Harama Biff? So yeah, this is going to be a good night tonight. You know, talking a little football, talking about some of the things that's been going on, obviously, in this mini camp. We'll let the Jets deal with what they got to deal with. They got a whole lot of mess up here they got to fool with. So
yes,
we got the best quarterback in the business, and we're showing Aaron Rodgers how it's done. That's what Patrick Mahomes is doing. So
yeah, we got our guy who's not mandatory, but he's making, you know, he's getting receivers out to Texas to come train with him. So that a little different. There's tears to this whole thing, you know.
Yeah, of course. Unless Rodgers is, you know, looking for kind of a vice president bid somewhere. Is that what he's trying to do? I don't know. So I'm just saying.
maybe the future when he's done officially. But yeah, apparently, but based on what he said, that it was offered to him, but he said he told Bob Kennedy no. So maybe in the future, it will have him head up like the medicine or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah,
something important.
So like JD said, we got a lot of stuff to cover tonight, some good stuff to cover. And we're going to begin with some news that happened, kind of something that happened late last week, but something that JD and I have been begging the Chiefs to go get a veteran receiver. We've been begging. We didn't know who was going to be. I mean, obviously, you know, we're both big Mecole Hardman fans. JD wanted us to get Mecole Hardman last year, and at the deadline, we did do that. So JD was right on that. But we've been calling for the Chiefs to bring back a veteran, and they did. They brought back a guy who's been in the offense for quite a bit. So Mr. Walkoff is back in Kansas City, and already seeing clips of him working with LRZ on fielding punts. You know, already talking, chatting with Xavier Worthy on the sideline. So, JD, obviously you wanted a veteran, but what are your thoughts on bringing him back, having Hardman back on the team, his impact? And then the other, there's a kind of a two-layer question of this. So okay, having him back is great. But then on top of that, it adds another receiver to the wide receiver room. And I was looking at it, I was like, Hardman's back. We have a lot of receivers now. So I was going over the list of guys. I only went 10 deep. I didn't go to the Jaren Hayeks of the world. But so the 10 deep of what I got here is this. So we got Rashee Rice, Hollywood Brown, Xavier Worthy, Justin Watson, Kadarius Toney, Mecole Hardman 6, Sky Moore 7, Justin Ross 8, Cornell Powell 9, and then Nico Remigio, everyone's big favorite guy right now as far as in camp. He rounds it off at 10. And there were still other guys that I could have gone for, but that, I just left it at 10. So my question is there a chance that any of these guys, because obviously we're not going to keep 10 receivers, but I guess the bigger names are as far as the Sky Moores and the Kadarius, because those are the ones that keep popping up. Everyone's always talking about, oh, they're going to be on the hot seat. Mm-hmm. Now, Hardman back, do you think there's a chance and danger that Sky Moore or Kadarius Toney could be in danger of losing a roster spot?
Okay, two-part question. So I'll do with the first question first. First off, it's good to see Mecole Hardman back. Like I said, I was a big proponent of him coming back here last year. Definitely supported him. You know, obviously when the Jets wasn't using him, talking about the Jets again, that he needed to come home. And he came home and he was able to come and help us out, score off the touchdown in the Super Bowl. I think Mecole Hardman, he knows the offense well. We know exactly who he is. And so Andy, I think they was looking for somebody who is very familiar for what they do. And also too, we know him as a weapon. Patrick Mahomes loves throwing the ball deep to Mecole Hardman. We can run jet sweeps with him, reverses, anything you want to run with Mecole Hardman, he can do. And so for them, I think it just made sense to bring a guy who's very familiar. We're very familiar with him, to bring something back to the offense. And what that did is it's kind of eliminated looking for a guy to kind of fit into what you do, your system. Does he have, you know, the relationship with guys? How's he going to work, right? And a lot of it has to deal with how guys complement each other. And so when you have somebody, as a veteran presence, we say this is somebody with only 5 years in the league, he's able to show like LRZ a lot. He can show Xavier Worthy things he needs to do, some of the wrinkles and the nuances of the offense and our system to help these guys get open, help them understand exactly the concepts, what they're looking for, what they're expected out of them from that room. That's what he brings to the table. And so it just made sense, I think. And I do support the move. I really do. So I do believe Mecole Hardman is going to bring something to the table. Now, with that being said, does that mean other guys are on the hot seat? For sure. You know, you only have a certain number of slots, a certain number of guys that's going to be able to make the team in the roster. Does that mean, you know, Kadarius Toney, Sky Moore, you know, Justin Watts and Justin Ross, Remigio, Cornell Papp, who could it be? Who could it be? One thing I know is this. Mecole Hardman is the third most accomplished guy on our offense as far as wide receiver, okay? Hollywood Brown be on the first. Second, you could say Rashee Rice because of what he did last year. And then it will be Mecole Hardman. After that, production kind of it wanes. It does. It just kind of flatlines in a sense because Kadarius Toney's been, you know, in the league for a few years but hadn't really shown anything because he's been hurt. Sky Moore still is trying to, you know, gain his prominence and ascension into this offense. That may be this year. We don't quite know that. The other guys we're talking about is, shoot, Justin Watson. He's the other guy, the only one I think on the roster of the guys we named that has any type of significant playing time. Other than that, nobody else I'm sitting here looking at. You said Justin Ross, Cornell Powell, Nico Remigio. I mean, that's pretty much it. That's pretty much it. So could the X's be those guys as opposed to Kadarius Toney and Sky Moore? Possibly. What I do know, this is just going to bring out a lot of competition. And look, during training camp, you're going to find out exactly who's going to be on the bubble, okay? And that's going to be determined by reps. It's going to be determined by how guys perform out there every single day at practice, what they're utilizing the guys for, and if you're good on special teams. And that's another thing. Like, if you don't really play special teams, your job is in jeopardy. That's just the bottom line. That's how it works in the NFL. So if you're not the guy, the first one, two, or three guys, you will definitely be on the bubble because you don't play special teams. So with that, you know, remains to be seen how that's going to work. But as far as, like, Mecole coming back, I do love it. As far as him X-ing out other guys on their hot seat, sure, right? Competition brings out the best out of guys. We're just going to see who's going to come out of that whole race right there in the wide receiver room. So –
yeah, it's a lot of outside the guys you mentioned, you know, Hollywood Brown, Rashee Rice, Hardman, and Justin Watson. Yeah, I mean, you can point to Sky Moore's touchdown that he had in the Super Bowl, Kadarius Toney's touchdown he had in the Super Bowl, but it's not a lot. There's not a lot there with those guys. And then it goes to the next tier. It's the potential guys. It's the Justin Ross. He's got potential. We've seen some of that in training camp, practice, preseason games. We see, you know, he caught a nice ball in the Vikings game, but that's pretty much it. And then you have the Nico Remigio is like, oh man, you know, he looked good in preseason, and then he got hurt last year. So there's different tiers to it. And you know, Cornell Powell's a hard worker; he's been with the team for a while. But the most accomplished guys, because I saw one person on, you know, I was always looking at people's comments and stuff, but everyone's thinking that obviously Hardman's going to make the team. But I saw someone say, like, not necessarily everyone's talking about Sky Moore being the one out or Kadarius Toney being the odd man out. Why do you think Hardman's inked in as a guy? I mean, because the person was trying to make is he just got signed in June. Obviously, the team was wavering on signing him for a while. That doesn't mean he's gonna make the squad. He's an automatic in. I think there's some validity to that.
No, I mean, you wouldn't sign a guy unless you, especially a guy like this, because he has inherent value. Hardman has value here. We understand that. And so when I'm talking about the third accomplished guy in the room, he is, right? He's the one that's been around the Chiefs the longest out of anybody that you just named in the wide receiver room. They know him. They understand exactly what he has and what he brings to the table. But that is so vital to the young guys. For a guy that understands the offense, you understand him, he understands how everything works. He has great rapport with everybody in the room, offense, defense, coaches, This is his home. He got drafted here. So Mecole Hardman is a Kansas City Chief. I'm looking at right now, when you look at guys' careers, he's a Kansas City Chief for life. That's what it is. And so he's synonymous with this organization because of what he's done here. So you can argue as far as like what his production has been, but when we start talking about the other guys, well, we don't quite know that. It still remains to be seen. Sky Moore is a draft pick for us. This is his third year. I think this is his breakout. This is the time Sky Moore has to show up. If he's going to show anything, this has got to be the year he does it. This has to be his year. Kadarius Toney, same thing.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
The best ability is availability. If you're not available to go out there and play and do what you can with your skill set, it's going to be hard to make the squad. Not saying he's on the bubble and everything, but I will say this. Now, his absence was a bit of concern. I might want to say that. Nobody's going to say those things right now, but you best believe coaches in the back of their mind are sitting over like, okay, we ain't got nothing. All those things, we are taking tally on every little thing that a guy does or doesn't do. So if we're looking for other guys that are more dedicated than another person, you best believe they're going to be thrusted ahead of somebody else. That's how it works on a depth chart. Now the players may not know that. Everybody can speculate all they want to, okay? The only ones that know this is the coaches, and they got a list up in their office every single day. When they talk about this, they talk about it every single day. What guys did and what they did not do. How did he look? How did he catch the football? Did he run the route the right way? Does he understand the concept, all right? How does he gel with the other guys that's in the wide receiver? You know, did he give them spacing? So all these things are taken into account. They really are. Same thing with if you're available, you're not. You don't show up to OTAs, why not? What's going on, right? We understand this. So it's the same thing I was talking about Aaron Rodgers up there. But Aaron Rodgers is going to be their starter, okay? He's been in the league for a long time, but he's getting fine. They make sure they're going to touch his wallet. They make sure that, yeah, go ahead. Go to wherever you're going in Europe. Go ahead. Tell you what, though, we're going to touch a little bit of that pocket. And they did it. So I don't know as far as how it is working out from my experience, my years in the league. I know how coaches speak and how they talk. I have been in those rooms before. I know what goes on behind closed doors. And they will come in and say, look, Kadarius Toney wasn't here. Why wasn't he here, coach? Well, he gave me this, this, and this. Okay, cool. Let's check this out, right? Oh, we just got McCole here. What is McCole getting? Is he in shape? How does he look? Coach, he looks good. You know, he came back in shape. Okay. Plus, so it's just, you know, it's you're moving pieces up and down the board. That's how it's going to work, man. And so when you go on the horses in a race, right? And you know, I know if you play the ponies or not, you know, sometimes I do. But I tell you what, if I'm looking at a pony that has a little bit more to him and I think it's going to come in the race, top one, two, or three, that's what I'm looking for. So I'm about to trifecta. My trifecta right now I'm looking at as far as Rasheed Rice, Hollywood Brown, and McCole Hartman, right? And then obviously Xavier Worthy, because he's the first round pick. Once he gets back, he's going to be thrusted right up there, right? I think McCole Hartman will be that fourth guy. So,
yeah, well, it's funny you mentioned Xavier Worthy. So I was looking at this. Obviously, you and I talked about wanting a veteran guy in there. And, yeah, whether it's 5 years or nine, he's still a young guy. But as far as in terms of this wide receiver room, he's a veteran presence, especially a veteran presence within this offense. And obviously, you know, already talking to LRZ about, you know, punts. Because, I mean, Harbin, people may forget this, he was a Pro Bowler as a punt returner.
Yeah,
so, I mean, for sure. Yeah. So, like, you know, that's great education there for LRZ to have a guy, you know, who did it at the highest level. But I the one thing that's, I think it's still early, you know, mandatory minicamp, but Xavier Worthy, I hasn't practiced in like 20 plus days. And at first I thought maybe it was, you know, minor hamstring injury, but also the contract wasn't done yet. We're getting into now, and it's like that hamstring injury still there, I guess, wherever minor. And right now it's June, right? So if this is training camp, then I'd say, yes, there's a major red flag here. I'm scared. But as of right now, nothing to worry about. But I think it's more having Harmon, it's more of an insurance policy as to, okay, let's say Xavier Worthy's not ready and he has the lingering hamstring injury. He's probably more of a Xavier Worthy type of guy. Obviously, smaller, you know, guy who can you know, just run screens for us, takes the top off defenses as well, a little bit of everything. Yeah. I think it's more insurance with that whole thing. And then also, too, we know the injuries that Kadarius Toney's had. And plus, can we even count on him? Didn't come to any OTAs up until when it was mandatory time. That's when he came. Right, he didn't come before. So it's like having Hardman, a guy who is a veteran presence, he'll be good for the younger guys. And then also, too, he can do a little bit of what we wanted to do with Xavier Worthy if the hamstring continues to be hurt. And then if Kadarius Toney continues to, you know, be, you know, MIA and injured as well.
Right. Well, I tell you what, you know, having that presence there, right, like you said, is insurance. It's an insurance policy for sure. Why not bring a guy that, like I said, you're very familiar with to be that insurance policy? So it definitely makes sense. It definitely makes sense. We said this before. We understand the Kansas City Chiefs have a type. We understand it. Body type, speed-wise, what they can do, especially with this offense. And so instead of trying to teach a guy what you have to do in this offense, you get a guy who's very familiar, understands everything, the nuances of the whole entire position, what's wanted by Patrick Mahomes and the offensive coordinator, how he gels well with everybody else around him as far as like in the route concept. So, I think that is also insurance policy, but also to a guy that is familiar, right? So I think you hit, you know, two birds with one stone on that one.
So, yeah, I've seen it about time. Wasn't Tony the only MIA receiver with Mahomes in Texas? Tony wasn't pictured a lot because we're only going by who is pictured with Mahomes. I only saw Tony pictured once with Mahomes down in Texas this offseason, and that was it. Probably I saw him the least of all the guys of our in photos and stuff. Justin Watson, I didn't see Justin Watson often in the Texas photos, but again, we're basing it off photos. I'm sure there was definitely workouts where they didn't have a videographer or photographer there. But yeah, Tony, I only saw him once in any photo this offseason. Most of the time it was Hollywood and Rasheed. And obviously those two are going to be the ones to probably get the most targets this year, and not by accident.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We got to make sure that a photographer who was trying to get Rasheed Rice wasn't there taking the pictures either.
Yeah, I don't think it was that one.
But I don't know. I don't know as far as like you said, working out. Kadarius was toning down. If he was down there, fine. We're just talking about OTAs. When you're around the entire team, that's what you want to be able to do. You know, coming to work out with a guy during the offseason, that's pretty much kind of on you. The whole entire team, I think it's really where you want to be. Under the coaches, you know, they're watchful eye, you know, to see what you're doing, okay? So that's very important. Lacey Snakes in. What's up, Lacey? What's up, Puddin? I think she's the one that calls us Puddin all the time. Lacey, appreciate you. What's up, Puddin? Aldo Brown says, JD, what's hard on you? Your wife yelling at you or the head coach? I tell you what, you know, wifey, she doesn't yell at me too much. She doesn't. You know, she calmed me down when I need to be calmed down. But no, you know, she didn't yell at me too much. The head coach yell at you, you know, you just kind of whatever. You take it, you know, and it is what it is. I really had too many head coaches yell at me. And if they did, you know, they would usually come to me like, hey, you know, they talk to me. You know, they don't sit well with me. Yelling at me, it don't accomplish what you want. It's not going to work with me.
So are positional coaches like, I would say probably a head coach would be more inclined to yell at a player versus more so than a position coach. Position coach is probably more the buffer between the two. Like if the head coach yells at you, your tight ends coach would come to you and say, hey, like, you know, like, you know, he didn't mean that.
Sometimes it's like that. It depends on the coach. I think position coaches are, they without a doubt, let the head coach do what he has to do. Yeah, and they might be like, look, you know, you screwed up. I don't know what to say. So they try to soften the blow. Other than that, I don't know. As far as position coaches yelling at guys, he had to be a rookie or something, one or 2 years. They would know who to yell at and who not to yell at. And I never had a position coach yell at me. It wasn't happening, you know. Because then, you know, we all in the room together. So we might have to corner one another like, hey, man, like, who are you talking to? You know, it's position. Bring it down a little bit. Bring it down. But it's all respectful. And the way it should be. But I know sometimes there are position coaches that were getting guys tails. You know, obviously, and coordinators. Coordinators another one, too. Mm-hmm. You know, because they're the ones, without a doubt, with all the power. Shoot, hey, I'll keep a guy in and keep him out. I don't have to have this guy in at all. That's a coordinator. So I don't care what you want. I don't care what you think. I don't care what the position coach says. This is my offense. Or this is my defense. You will play when I tell you to play. And that's how it works. So you got to kind of take it with a grain of salt, any of those things yelling. But I think everybody is respectful for the most part. I've seen some. You ever have a coach yell at you? Yes, I have, sweetie. I have had a coach yell at me. It has happened. I it was more of a conversation. We get kind of back and forth, and I'm like, hey, man, look. But I think they know who I am, so I think it was a lot of respect there. Mm-hmm. So when like a yelling thing like that, I know my college coach would get on me, you know, God rest his soul. The reason is because he had gray hairs. I used to tell him when I came back as a coach, I know you had a lot of gray hairs, probably because of JD, because of me. I could admit it, you know, so that's what it was.
Yeah, it's one of those things. You earn your stripes, high school, college. You can take the licks from the coaches and stuff. It's when you get to like the professional level, I'm sure, where you're about the same age as some of these positional coaches and you know, some of these coordinators. Like, you ain't gonna talk to me that way, man. You're a peer.
Man, right. You know, I mean, you still have respect for them, but right. You know, everybody has respect for one another. But like I said, I have seen some, you know, coaches yelling guys, you know, but, you know, they yelling to get in the guy's tail. It's either a young guy or a guy that's on the bubble to get cut. So they knew, like, hey, look, this joke's about to be out of here. So I'm gonna let these lips fly. So,
dang.
Yeah, it's crazy.
JD, you mentioned Rashee Rice as being one of our most accomplished guys. And I'll tell you what, JD, seeing what this past weekend he was interviewed by Harold Kuntz, a Kansas City local TV guy. And Rashee Rice, you know, it was a youth camp, and it was his first time he's spoken to the media since all the drama that's gone on this summer. So he was at this youth camp, and he said that he's learned so much from all that. All I can do is mature and continue to grow from that. This is a step in a better direction for me. And also, so that report comes Saturday. And then this week, you're seeing Mahomes and him on point with each other. They are clicking like they never, like they ended the year last year. And it looks like Rashee Rice is taking whatever happened and he's kind of put that in the behind him. And he's like kind of going forward. And one thing that I've saw from the reports from mandatory minicamp this week is you're seeing Mahomes hit Rashee Rice vertically. And this is something that you yourself were like, I want to see him more involved other than the quick screens and stuff. I want to see him, you know, attacking downfield. And we saw sometimes last year, we saw a little bit, but we didn't see it enough. And it seems like they are kind of pressing that issue vertically, not with guys just like Hollywood Brown. And it seems like they're doing it with everybody, including Rashee Rice. So, JD, another two-parter here. Obviously, what do you got to think? What do you think about what Rashee Rice said to the media about, you know, kind of putting this behind him and maturing from all the stuff he went through this offseason? And also, too, the way they're planning on using him this year. What do you think about that?
So I seen that little bit, that clip of him saying that, you know, he's learned from it and he's growing. So that's a good thing. You know, learn from your mistakes and grow from it. It's so important, especially going forward. I think, you know, everybody just wanted him to have some semblance of, you know, humility, but also to, you know, to reconcile with what went on. And if he's apologetic, which I think he is, he has been so far, because he's going to be throwing these questions all year, to be honest with you. I think he handled it well. I don't know how much, you know, if you want a guy to be somber to answer the question, you know, I think, you know, with Rashee is a guy that, you know, he's going to smile at things. You know, he seemed like he just got one of those where his smile lights up every time you ask him a question about, you know, many things. And it's good that he has a positive outlook, because that's the way it should be. So hopefully he'll be able to put this thing behind him and move forward and learn from it and don't get into any more boneheaded, silly moves like he did, you know. And so chalk this up to, you know, experience that you know, he's learned from, that he put a lot of people's lives in jeopardy, and not just people, but himself as well. And so, you know, we need him around. That's very important. As far as like being on the football field and throwing the ball down the field, I love it. I love it. And we, like you said, we talked about this. And so being able to stretch the field with our guys like Rashee Rice, it's a win-win situation for us, because he's a big receiver. He can go up and go get it. He's got a lot of speed. He can catch the football really well with his hands. It's just another added weapon for what we do. So I said, you know, majority of his catches he got was, you know, the 5 or 10 yards. That was it. That was what he was doing. He was doing a slant route, you know, wide receiver screens, you know, curls and comebacks. That was the majority of his.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Receptions last year. Even though he got a lot of yards after the catch, that was what he was regulated to. The good thing about this is now you can't just say, well, look, we're going to play Rashee Rice because it's what they're going to do with it. No. Throw the deep ball with it, okay? Let him go match up one-on-one, go up and go get the ball, or catch one right over his back, you know, outside shoulder. Because I seen he caught a couple balls on outside. Look pretty. Got his eyes on it. You do that, man. You just add a whole different dimension to what you do and with your offense. You know, it's just a whole different bit of your arsenal. So, I love it. Absolutely love it, Marcus. And this, like you said, this is what we've been looking for. We've been looking for getting some deep routes, some deep balls. So here we got the speed, okay? We can throw wide receiver screens, slants, curls, and all that. Now we need to do the back shoulder throws, okay? Deep posts, go routes. That's what we need to see. We need to back up the entire defense. And I think I've seen Marquise Brown, Hollywood, was talking about, like, look, we're going to keep the defense on their toes. We're going to back them up all game. And that's what you want to be able to do. As long as you keep the defense off balance and just go attack them where they don't know where it's coming from, man, you already winning the battle. You're already going to win the battle. So that's what I love about this, man. I love about it. So positive news, man, for Rashee Rice.
100%. And I got to say, and I think Donna pointed this one out, Holly Brown has been keeping Rice close to him, had him in Florida working out with him after the accident. So, yeah, like you said, the veteran presence, yeah, Hollywood's not the oldest guy, but Hollywood, you know, is a vet in the league, and he's taking him under his wing, and hopefully that continues. But, J.D., you talk about Rashee Rice, and obviously it's all maturation process on and off the field. And, you know, hopefully you learn from this, but talk about his maturation process on the field. Last year, quick slants, quick screens, maybe some downfield stuff, but not a lot. But yeah. It seemed like, and I don't know if this is true or not, but it seemed like Andy Reid, you know, everyone was talking about how hard of an offense it is. Rookies can't really understand it. It takes a while for rookies to get it. And it seemed like they kind of maybe try to make it a little easier, more simpler for Rashee Rice to get it in doing, you know, quick screens, you know, quick slants, not kind of, you know, making it complicated. And now that he's got that under his belt one season, and then he comes in this year and they're like, they're throwing everything at him. Hey, like, it's your time. You're taking off the training wheels. We're going to give you everything, the whole route tree. And it's not going to be predictable anymore for defense. It's kind of like what you're saying. It's going to keep defenses on their toes. Sure, yeah. Defensive coordinators, they're always looking at patterns and schemes and seeing what players do, and it's not predictable anymore because he's not going to do just slants, he's not going to do quick screens. It's going to be everything, the whole route tree. So I'm really excited to see Rashee Rice in the offense. JD, I want to ask this though. So obviously this whole thing's behind him as of right now. It seems he's maturing from it, mm-hmm. but the legal process is still being played out. And my thing is like, I'm watching Rashee Rice highlights. I'm, you know, reading, listening to his interview on this. But then at the same time, I'm like, gosh, it sucks because at some point that suspension is gonna loom back on us again. We're like, oh man, that's right. This whole thing happened, and that's something that Hardman, another reason why you bring him back in for that reason alone, not just Xavier Worthy, but right. the looming suspension here, and that's something that I had to remind myself. Oh, he's gonna be suspended for this.
Right. Right. And so that, like you said, that's probably another why you make a move with Mecole Hardman, okay? It's because we know he can stretch the field too. He was very dangerous stretching the field just in that little sample size he had last year when Patrick didn't play. And he's throwing the ball down the field. Mecole was torching him. We understand that, you know, he's going to be hiding somewhat of the eight ball at some point. We don't know exactly when that's going to be. Get the work in now so the guys are ready, okay? But you're prepared for the worst. That's what you have to do. And I think they're just doing that right now because they have to. And so it's one of those things that's unfortunate, but, you know, it has to happen. So that's why I'm saying, you know, even with that, who's going to be the guy on the bubble? Okay, it's all about competition, because you know at some point, hey, Rashee Rice got to, you know, pay his dues, okay? He's got to take the suspension. We don't know how long it's going to be. You know, we don't know how severe it's going to be, but go ahead and get the guys ready. I will say this, man. I made this point. I said it on Twitter. Is this. There was a lot of wearing with the wide receiver room. We keep talking about the wide receiver room. But I don't think we've made enough point about the type of tight ends we have on our roster either. Like, we have a very dangerous tight end room, okay? We got the best tight end in the game right now, to Travis Kelce. We got Noah Gray right there behind him, who's been very very solid as a blocker and as a receiver, okay? We got Irv Smith, who's coming in, who looks like he's very healthy, who can catch a football. He can block and do all the good things. Then we got Jared Riley, who came in, TCU, who's a very young guy who's getting the offense from what Travis said. So I think with those, we got to look at the type of reps, okay? Like the fullness of what our offense can bring. Not to mention, you know, the running backs, Pacheco, CEH, LRZ, he's going to be the guy. Daenerys, like, there's guys around his offense that can shoulder the load. We have them. We could literally run 12, 13 personnel, you know, and it wouldn't slow us down at all. Wouldn't slow us down at all. So that's what I don't always just want to just look at the wide receiver as opposed to the totality of what our offense can bring. Okay. So we match up really well on tight ends. Matter of fact, we're a matchup nightmare on linebackers, you know, even on the outside, some of my guys on the corner. And these guys can get open. They can catch the football. So we're going to be fine, man. We're going to be fine. And I think any of them understands because they've taken it, the full stock of what they got. Okay. And they say, hey, man, look, we 12 and 13 personnel, we can do. We can bring it in anytime and not lose anything. Matter of fact, we'll gain something on a running game if we need. But we can line those guys up on slot. We can run these guys up outside. We can bring these guys in motion. That's the beauty of our offense. It's the beauty of it. So everybody's got to know what everybody has to do. And so once you get that, everybody's like, okay, cool. We all tuned in. We focused up to what I had, my assignments. Everybody understands that, man. Our offense is going to be absolutely seamless, I think. So, I just think, you know, when I know we get into hyper wide receivers because that's what everybody's looking at, throw the ball down the field. But we got tight ends. Okay, the best in the business. And I said, we got the best tight end room in the football. Not even close. I think our brother, Cal was talking about, the Bills got a couple. Yeah, they got some tight ends up there, but they don't have the versatility we got. Guys that actually block and catch the football, both. So our depth is just it. I mean, shoot. Here we go. Like I said, Travis, Irv, Noah, Wiley. There you go. So we ready, man. We ready.
Yeah, I think my biggest scare as far as the receivers, and we have very capable tight ends, the best tight end group in the league by far. And I honestly think people are sleeping on Irv Smith. Everyone's talking about Wiley, which, all the hype around Wiley, it's great. I hope it translates to the NFL. But Kelce even endorsed him this week by saying, he's grasping the playbook way faster than I did. When I was a rookie, so that's a pretty glowing endorsement from tight end one.
come on, and like I said, man, we got to take the full totality of what the offense gives you, okay? The type of weapons we have, and so when you have that, you're just dangerous. You're dangerous. We get two or three guys get stressed the defense, shoot, and build out tight ends just roam wherever they need to.
Yeah,
so it's going to be a good year offensively, man. We shouldn't. There shouldn't be any type of lag in what we do, okay? It's just going to get better when Rashee Rice comes back or the suspension or anything like that. When it's a full offense, man, it's – shoot. Everybody better beware. Buyers beware, okay? Buyers beware.
I guess my whole thing now is with the receivers. I'm not – receiver room, they did a great job fixing up this receiver room. I think my scare now is when will that suspension hit? When will it be? How many weeks? And then the Xavier Worthy hamstring thing, that's – I got my eyes, my antennas on both those things.
I'm concerned.
I'm concerned.
I don't know. I don't like scared. Scared. I don't like that, Marcus. We gotta come on, I'm man. Concerned. We gotta. Yeah, there you go. A little concerned there, but we're scared, man. We ain't dodging nothing. We were scared last year. These guys are gonna be able to take care of business. They are okay. I mean, they're the reigning champs. They're going for a three-peat. These guys got it down, okay? And they're going to be better because of the type of coach that you have. So, Donna said O-line is concerning for me.
The tackle spot, I would say the only thing that's the concern there is the tackle spot.
No, I get it. I get it. It could be a little concerning. I think they still maybe possibly looking at guys, to bring in as support. But we'll just have to see. Lewis Cutbert said, can we trust Hardman? He only had 124 yards last season in very few games with the Chiefs. Sure, we could trust him.
Yeah.
Absolutely. He ended up getting hurt. It just, things seem to happen. It was just like, dang, God, again, something happened. It kept him out of the games. But as far as, his production when he's on the field, he can produce. I don't have any problem with as far as his talent and his ability. at all. So
yeah, I trust Hardman. 124 yards in a few games he played. MVS played the entire season, had about 350. So I mean, I think I can trust Hardman. And
Yeah, for sure.
And MVS played every rep too. It wasn't like MVS was coming off the field. MVS played like 95% of our snaps on offense. So yeah, I'll trust Hardman for sure.
Yeah. Dr. Brown says, my biggest concern is Andy goes back to overly pass happy Andy. Forget that running game.
That's legitimate.
Mine too. We understand that a run opens up the pass. We got great running backs to get the job done. We got to lean in on the running game, Dr. Brown. I'm right with you 100%. Got to lean in on it. And if you don't, then I get it, because you have a fast offense. You got guys that catch the football, get the ball in their hands, and make them make plays. But we have guys back there that can tote the rock. So it's going to be – that would be good for us. I think if you have a balance, 60-40, as long as 60-40, 60 pass, 4 run, I'm good with that. I'm okay with that. We can't be 80-20, you know, or even 70-30. Nah, that ain't going to be good enough, okay? So we'll see how Pacheco and those guys going to do. We'll see. Yeah.
We're going to check in on Pacheco at the end of the show. Our final topic is Pacheco. But before that, we're going to get to our defensive back room, JD. A spot that I don't think a lot of people are concerned about is our DB room, at the depth of the DB room. I will say, like, it's become DB University over in Kansas City. So this past weekend, obviously, I caught up with Nazi, and we had a long conversation about a myriad of things. But one of the things we talked about was filling the shoes of L'Jarius Sneed, and he has a lot to say on that, so I'm going to roll the tape here.
When we first talked, on our first podcast, yeah, you talked about how Deion Bush and Justin Reed were the two veterans you guys looked to, and the other veteran in the DB room was L'Jarius Sneed at the mm-hmm. time, and now it's you guys. You guys are the veterans now. So my question is, everyone always talks about, oh, we're going to miss L'Jarius Sneed, yada, 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 and of course we're going to miss mm-hmm. him, but he left a kind of a foundation for you, for Jalen, for Joshua Williams, McDuffie. What did he teach you that you can take into your future this year and then beyond?
Man, he just taught us work ethic. I mean, he just always was about his work. He was never coming in there messing around. He knew what the game plan was, and he just excelled at it. And, you know, with him being gone, it just elevates – I'm not going to say it elevates the room a little higher, because now it's like a big what if. Like, everybody keeps thinking about Sneed. But we have quality cornerbacks like Joshua Williams and Jalen. Like, they were the other opposite of Trent. Trent is an all-pro corner, but we still have really good other corners right there. So it gets respect for them. But it's also going to make the DB room even better, because now we all pulling together to fill that void. But, you know, we all bring our different aspect to the room. Like, Sneed was a physical corner, but I may be a more agile corner, you know, just a different, maybe a ball hawk or something like that. And, you know, vice versa. So you never know what you can get. It all depends on what the coaching staffs have in store for us. But we've been around the program for 3 years now, so I think we have it figured out by now.
The most veteran three-year group of all time.
I mean, two Super Bowl champs, two back-to-back. All we know is Super Bowl. So, I mean, the work ethic is there. I mean, the foundation is there, and it's not going to fall off because Sneed's not there. We love Sneed to death, but, you know, we still have things to do. We still got everything. You know, the 2022 class is some serious hitters in that class. You know what I'm saying? So everybody just now it's our time to shine, and we're going to do what we need to do.
So, JD, a lot stands out there. Obviously, you and I are already confident in those guys to fill L'Jarius Sneed's shoes before I talked to him. But the confidence there, it's like, yeah, L'Jarius did a lot of things, but we do a lot of other things too. And I got to say, like, and I said it right there to him, these guys are three.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Present. These guys are veterans. These guys have played 25 weeks every year they played in the season. Obviously, Nazi out last season. But I got to say, I mean, I'm very confident in these guys, big time. What did you make of him kind of saying that they'll be able to pretty much fill Jerry Steen's shoes and maybe even offer something that he did, that he didn't provide to the defensive backs?
I tell you what, first off, man, phenomenal reporting. Incredible job on the interview, Marcus. I'm telling you, man, like, I don't know if everybody knows this, that this is your background, okay? Being a news reporter, going out there on the beat, interviewing people and doing the stories and stuff, man. But I tell you what, man, that made me proud. I had a tear in my eye. I was like, dang, God, Marcus is incredible, brother. Absolutely incredible reporting, okay?
Appreciate
first off, I just want to say that. I just
appreciate
want to say
it.
My thing is, I think Nazi, no lies told at all. None whatsoever. And the confidence that they have of just playing and trusting one another, I think is what he was kind of, you know, kind of saying. I think he went in just saying, like, look, we understand Steed is gone and everybody sneeze Steed, but we're like, look, what about us? What about everybody else around here? Okay. We understand Steed was good. He was a starter, but we had guys that came in that played too, played solidly, you know, when Steed was gone. You know, they came in and just was able to pick up wherever Steed left off. And so what he said is some guys may have some talents elsewhere. Like he said, he may be a ball hawk as opposed to maybe playing man, you know, which might be like Watson or Williams. That might be their strong suit. But they all got it down pat. I think for them, they trust each other so much that they're just going to get it right. They're just going to get it right. And so when you have that in a guy like this, a young guy talking about how good the room is, then you could rest well at night. Right? There's no concern there. I think I could put my head on a pillow knowing the secondary is in a great place. And Spags and those guys have got them ready. Dave and those dudes, Merritt has got those guys ready and playing at a high level. So happy for Sneed going and getting his bag, what he did. Thank you for everything he's done playing here. But we got guys here that could do the same thing that Sneed did. Or at least that's what I'm expecting for him to do. Okay. That's the expectation is, hey, a guy like that leaves, you step right in. And we're not looking for any type of, you know, downgrade in that position. We're looking for you to do just as much as he did and even better. Okay. We got one Pro Bowl corner on the one side. Who's going to be the other guy? Can somebody come in and actually become a Pro Bowl corner right with McDuffie? That's a possibility. And I'm telling you, man, it's just, they're so young. They just feed off each other. They really do. Like you said, they got a lot of, man, they got a lot of experience right there in that room. But yeah, man, I love seeing Nazi, man, just sitting over there smiling and answering all the questions. He done a phenomenal job, man. But all that took with the interview bringing that out of him. So, yeah.
I appreciate all the love in the chat, and I appreciate the kind words, JD.
Absolutely.
It was nice to dust off the microphone and get back out on the field. But I got to say, the one thing, and going back to the 2022 draft class of all these cornerbacks that we drafted and, you know, even signed after the fact, Vish did an amazing job, and these guys are all gems. The way Nazi, you know, kind of eloquently just talked about what they can provide, and that's why I want to ask that question, because every question these guys are fielding is, how much are you going to miss L'Jarius Sneed? Okay, like, he's gone now. Like, yeah, I'm sure they're going to miss him, but, like, it's their time now, and I want to know, what can they bring to the table? What kind of tools did Sneed leave for them, provide them, that they can take and they can add their own little spice and their own little zest to the defense? And his answer there, talking about how he can
how he can do stuff that Snead maybe couldn't do. And, you know, and there's stuff that Snead could do that maybe he can't do as well, but I'm going to be able to provide something else. And Watson and Josh Williams will be able to provide. And I love that. I love that answer because it was so confident too, man. Like it wasn't the way he said it wasn't arrogant at all, but it was very confident. It's like, yeah, you know what? I'll back you all the way. I trust you 100%, Nazi.
Hey man, look, as a DB, you have to have confidence. You have to. There is no way that you could play in the NFL as a corner and not have confidence or have any type of doubt. If you do, you're going to get burnt. You're going to be toast all game, and you're going to have a short career. That's how it works. So those guys got to trust their ability, man, because these guys play with somebody running at a full speed forward, and they got to run backwards just as fast, open up their hips and cover. And so we talk about athleticism. Those are the most athletic guys on the field. I don't mind saying it. You know, I used to say, you know, tight ends were and whatnot, but those DBs, shoot, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. That's why you see the talkers like Deion and those guys. That's who they are. That's who they are. Look, I'm on a group chat with them every single day. Okay. I'm on there with probably 8 DBs. All right. And I know their personalities, man, because they all ball. They are ballers. And they did. They showed it. So I do believe, man, with Nazi, he understands what they have in that role. Okay. He's saying, if you want to go see L'Jarius Sneed, go watch Tennessee play. Okay. Get you some tickets or go on and get you the Sunday pass and go watch L'Jarius Sneed if you want to worry how he's going to play. If you want to watch the Chiefs secondary, okay, which is still going to be good, which is still going to try to go get a three-peat, who is still trying to be the best in the entire business, okay, which is still trying to be the best defense of what we got, then come see us. Come see Nazi. Come see Watson. Come see Williams. Come see McDuffie. Come check us out, okay, because we got there too. We got that thing covered. And nobody should worry about anything. Everybody should be fine with what we do. These are the things we got to see it. So my brother said, Need is ahead. I'll never give credit for his talent. No doubt about it. He should look, bro. He should have been a Pro Bowler. Should have been. And I don't know why. I don't know what they gave to why he didn't get it. Sometimes the popularity contest comes out a little bit. And they didn't want to give Bo Chief. They didn't want to have two guys in a Pro Bowl. I think the last time that happened was Dale. And Hasty, Dale Carter and Hasty. I think there is only. I think if I'm not mistaken, I do believe they both made a Pro Bowl. I'm not quite sure, but I know those guys played a Pro Bowl caliber football. I know that. But just saying that, look, our secondary is fine. That's one position I don't have any concerns about whatsoever. None. I think Lewis Cutright said the same thing about, like, the D-line might have some concerns. Sure, and rightfully so. But as far as DBs, not at all. But, yeah, bro, like you said, hey, man, yeah, he said Sneed's a Falcon, Peregrine Falcon shoes. Yeah, but they'll fit it. They got the shoes. Look, they don't mind, okay? Matter of fact, everybody has their own shoes to fill. Like they said, everybody's got their own superpower. My thing is, these guys don't mind going out and displaying it. So be good for that. Albert Lewis and Kevin Ross days. Bad boys. No doubt about it. Bad boys for sure. Appreciate you, Caesar, saying that. Shut down corners. We got them. We got shut down corners. So, like I said, man, I think it's going to be – that's the strength of my defense. To be honest, like just as a group overall, like it was last year, is our secondary. Guys up front. Hey, once they generate the pressure, the speed to get after the quarterbacks, stop the run. Hey, man, let the ball hawks play. Let them run around, man, get some interceptions. Take some to the house. Somebody was talking about Cook coming back. I want to see the high step going back into the end zone like he did last year, looking so good, high stepping. A joker, man, looked like the drum major. From Ohio State. You know, he comes out there, does the high kicks. Oh, like yeah. That. Oh, my God. That's what it looked like. Love it.
Yeah, because the DB room, like, outside, we're just talking about cornerbacks right now. But, yeah, when you talk about Cook, you talk about the new guy, Jaden Hicks, Justin Reed, Even Deion Bush, you know, he had a nice pick in the championship game. And then you talk about the young guys that we have too. The guy, the Kamal Hayden from Tennessee, who people love his numbers and the analytics off the charts with that guy. Nick Jones, Bowling Green, that we drafted last year, who I think he looked good in preseason last year in training camp. So maybe he'll get some playing time. But that's the thing. It's like top to bottom, home run with our DB room altogether, man.
Oh man, no doubt about it. I didn't even name the young guys. I didn't even name them.
Yeah,
because we solid just with the veterans we got, and so they're gonna learn so much. Dave Merritt, man, and Spags, we already know that. We know what they give. We know that. Lee Marshall said linebacker core will be nasty too. No doubt about it. Linebacker core is another solid. We look across the board, you know, first, second, and third level, we're good. We're good, right? We were talking about just some of those things. Depth, still need depth of defensive tackle, J-Dub 84. I agree with that, okay? Some things may shake out in training camp. There's always a D-tackle out here that you can get, okay? D-tackle don't use too much. You get a guy, man, who's ready, who's hungry to come in and play, who's going to just come in and crush guards and tackles. That's what you need. Yeah. So if they got arms as big as Pinnell, man, we need to get you here, man. We need to sign you. So, I do agree with that. I think, but across the board, I think we're pretty good defensively.
And just look at the 2022 draft, just to highlight how amazing that draft is. Trent McDuffie, George Karloftis, Sky Moore, okay. Brian Cook, Leo Chanel, Joshua Williams, Darren Kennard. He's now in a Philadelphia Eagle now in front of the show. Jalen Watson, Isaiah Pacheco, and Nazi Johnson. I mean, that's like a million picks there. I think only, I don't say misses, but, you know, guys who didn't pan out, Kennard, and so far Sky hasn't really panned out, but everybody else, and we're talking about just seventh rounds alone, Jalen Watson, Pacheco, and Nazi. And, you know, Nazi, you know, was a great special teamer, was good with the ones last year before he got hurt. And right away, he's cleared again, JD, and he's running with the ones again. Already had a pass break with the ones. I think Friday was his first day running with the ones. And then I think that this past week he's been running with the ones again. So, I mean, looking at that draft, three seventh round. How many teams can hit on three seventh round picks? That doesn't happen.
That's what Beach does, man. They put that together. When I'm telling you, being able to get some type of work, and I ain't just talking about just regular work. I'm talking about starters from seventh round. That's phenomenal. That is absolutely phenomenal. So I think that's what he's really good at, man. Is catching that talent, some of those, you know, diamonds in the rough, come out here and get them to play. Because my thing is, and I'm sure he's telling him, like, look, man, look at this seventh round we had last year. He's a starter. So don't think about where it is that you got drafted, okay? If you can make the squad or you can play, you will start here. You will play here. And if it works out, then we'll keep you for a long time. If not, then you can go somewhere else. But at least you understand, when we get you in the seventh round, we've seen something in you that other people didn't, okay? We want you to have a little bit of that chip on your shoulder, things that some people just couldn't necessarily see. But we've seen it. We've seen it. So we invested in that. Man, that just gave me goosebumps just thinking about it. I tell the guy, look, everything's against you right now. Seventh round? Come on. People doubting you. But guess what? You're going to get a chance and opportunity to play here. Okay? And they've done a great job with that, the seventh rounders. They've been an absolute phenomenal job doing that. We'll see. Pono Kyle said, hi, Jason. Don't you think that Remigio deserves a roster spot in place of Sky? He doesn't bring anything. Yeah. Deserve? Ain't no deserve. It don't work like that, Bono. Yeah, it don't work like that. Okay, if he beats him out, then he deserves it. But as far as like just saying, hey, man, it has to work in practice and everything else, meeting rooms, the whole nine. So ain't no deserve right now. Okay, the only one that deserves anything at this moment are the ones that got paid, that got the big bucks. Is the Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, and Chris Jones. That's deserving, okay, of that. So, but no, man, it's going to be competition, and you need that, okay? So however it shakes out between those two guys, that's going to be deserving of it. So Yes, yeah. Man.
And Ramiz, you don't really have a, we don't have a lot of sample size to see. I mean, because he got hurt pretty early on in preseason last year, and he looked good in that Saints game. But after that, I don't think he played again because I think he was hurt. I think he got hurt in that game. So, and that was it. So, deserves. I can't give him a deserved spot when we've only seen him play in one preseason game. So,
yeah. So, you know, too small of a sample size. We just got to see it though. OTAs is one thing. Hey, look, everybody look good without pads on. He's supposed to look good without pads. He's supposed to catch every ball thrown to him. Same thing I said, Justin Watts. Justin Ross supposed to catch one-handed in his bread basket. He's supposed to do that. He's supposed to. Oh, JD, I can't believe you hating on Justin Ross.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, I played 11 years in the NFL. I've seen guys make catches like that all the time. Well, how come they're not doing it in the game? Because you don't have that volume of catches in the game. That's why. But I can tell you what, I'll put you on the line with any wide receiver in the NFL. If they'll tell you that I never caught a ball like that in practice, shoot. They'd lie to you. Then they'd be lying to you. But, no, we'll leave that alone. We'll leave it alone. But, man, I think, you know, as far as, like, what the guys look like defensively, I think we look really good. Somebody saying on here, talking about, let me see, we go to Caesar. You was talking about the Chiefs just added three more undrafted free agents, D tackles. Said he should invite players from the UFL for camp invite, especially DT position. It could still happen. Still early, you know. So camp, a lot of things change from here to training camp. There's a lot of guys come in and out, especially training camp. They usually bring in, as I remember when we would get dressed going to practice, you'll see three guys over here putting cleats on. They're going to give them a shot, an opportunity. That's how it happens. We're going to see what a guy can do. So it'll be interesting.
Plus, a couple of years ago, we signed Brandon Williams later on in the season too. I mean, there are gems and some vets that you can add later on in the season. But, yeah, I think for the most part, I think that D-tackle depth is pretty much going to stay as what it is right now. And maybe they'll address it next offseason.
Yeah.
Hopefully they set it a higher priority next offseason, but that's a next year dilemma.
Yeah, we'll see.
All right, so we're going to go to the running back room to end the show tonight. So, JD,
ooh-wee.
The first time in 2 years, Pacheco is a full go at mandatory minicamp. Pacheco said yesterday at a press conference that he is healthy, didn't have to get surgeries like he did last year with the labrum and the wrist. I mean, that guy takes a toll on himself. And then he's lighter than ever. So when he first came out, he was 215, and then last year he was 210, and now he's down to 206 right now. So he's cut some weight, and he's still built like a brick shit house. So he's still good to go. So JD, my question is, you know, we always talk about the longevity of Pacheco because he runs so physical. He's always getting, you know, he gets dinged up here and there. Last year, obviously, and then during the season this past year, I think he missed a game or two. Mm-hmm. When you're seeing that, you know, he's a full go mandatory minicamp for the first time in 2 years, and he's also cutting some weight. Does that kind of give you some, do you think there might be a change in his, maybe he changes his running style a little bit this year, or is that's who he is? That's the guy that we got.
That's what we got, man. That's Pacheco. He ain't changing the running style. That's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. He's going to be as physical as ever. He's going to be as exciting. He's going to be as reckless as ever. That's just what he's going to be able to do. Maybe him dropping weight, he may feel like he's able to hit holes faster. I don't know. Maybe he feels good at this weight. You know, that's on him. But, you know, the players know their body. They really do. They know it to the pound. You know, how I run with 5 pounds more or 3 pounds less. I know what type of guy I am. I think for me, I was one that I said I wanted Pacheco to be a little bit bigger. But that was me. And you know, he did well at 215. But if he feels he's good at 210, shoot, that's he knows his body.
206. He was 210 last year. He's 206 now.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So that's why I asked that question as far as changing the running style a little bit, because if you're cutting weight and you are a physical guy, I mean, he looks for contact, he seeks contact out there. And, you know, he's had to deal with, you know, these injuries, the torn labrum, broken hands, concussion, I believe he had. And you're cutting weight. I mean, for 2 years ago, you weighed 215. You're dropping 10 pounds nearly in 2 years. What does that tell you?
Oh man. Well, I go back to it. He trusts his body. He knows what his body's going to do. So I guess he's trying this out to see where he has to be. So the thing is, he can go up because he knows what it means to be 210 and 215, like you said, right? So he's already been that weight. So he could pick up 3 or 4 pounds here and there. The thing is, he builds it up with muscle where it's not really debilitating. Like it doesn't make him stiff, doesn't make him, if he's still flexible, I think that's the most important thing. It's just the durability at 206. We'll just have to see. But he said he feels good, right? So I'm going to trust Pacheco on that, okay? I ain't got no say in this whatsoever because it ain't me, right? If somebody tried to say, look at it. Okay, look. I'm fine where I'm at. If I feel like I play a certain weight, then I can do it. I remember when I was in Philly, and I was around 260-something. Then I got to Kansas City. I started being about 270, playing 272. And I could feel a difference in certain things that I did. So, and I had the weight on because I knew I was there. Death. What's up? There he goes. There he goes. You know, play out. That's my devil right there. JD knows nothing about cutting weight. Actually, I do. So he used to see me working out all the time. He said, look, I can see. And he would get on me, look, hey, Uncle, I see you getting a little bit bigger. No, not necessarily. I was just more, like you said, more defined. That's what it was. More muscles popping out, you know. But, man, for me, I had to know where I was at for particular things that I was doing. If I was too light, then I'd have to put on some more weight. Because, you know, block a defensive end, you ain't playing around, man. I mean, you get thrown around like that. So, Illy Beeman, I don't like it. Hey, man. Illy, you know, this, shoot, we'll see. He'll figure it out. He'll figure it out. Once he has the pads on and it doesn't really work on how he sees and he starts getting some of the physical stuff, it may change, but we know that sometimes, you know, a little bit more weight gives you security, but if it hampers some of your movement, then sure, get a little bit off of you.
Well, because you would think with his running style, you want a little more meat to kind of embrace your role. You are a physical guy. I mean, you're 215 coming out of college. You are a physical guy. You haven't really given that up in your first few years in the NFL. Like, would you kind of embrace that role more, or are you trying to be a little bit different? And I'm thinking maybe as far as this, and you tell me if you agree and what you think about this rationale.
Yeah.
No McKinnon this year. CH is the only other guy coming back, veteran guy that's coming back to this offense. Do we may see Pacheco more of a passing down guy, more on the field for all three downs instead of coming off the field more often? And he wants to, you know, stay a little bit nimble and losing some pounds.
And he could. That could be a possibility. My thing is, yeah, you don't have McKinnon. Depends on who that other guy is going to be, right? Who's going to come out of that thing? And this is where I see Newt talking about LRZ. He may take some reps back there at running back. We'll see. You know, they got some guys in there that are a little bit bigger. Daenerys Prince is a little bit bigger guy. Could take a little bit more of that pounding. We just have to see, man. Can he get around guys, run around guys? So that would be the change to the running style, right? Make people miss an open field is what you want to be able to do. So he said he bulked up for the combine. His ideal weight is 206, 208. Aim straight. I think that maybe that's what he was in college. And I get it because I had to do the same thing for the combine. Gain weight for what your coaches tell you what they want you to do, what you think you need to do. And then you kind of find where you need to be, okay, where you're more effective. And so he'll find out this year, is that effective when you're out here playing? Are you going to be able to take the hits from guys, you know, being 206? So we'll see. So 206 to 210 is not that big of a deal. If he was like 200, that may be a little bit more concerning. 206, he still got some muscle to him. I don't really see him having any type of body fat on him. It's another thing, man. You got to worry about cramps and all those other things too, just being on muscle.
How much of that is coaching related, like talking to the coaches, like maybe shedding, like if a player comes back, like dropping certain weight, how much of that is like my own willpower, like I want to go lose this weight, or is this like conversations you may have be having with the coaching staff? I'm just curious, how much involvement does coaching have on your, like, on a player's like weight, for example?
I mean, the coach could ask you, what do you think? You know, if he thinks that you're too big to do certain things, it's like, hey, man, you have this ability to you. But my thing is Pacheco saying, hey, look, coach, you know, I've dropped some pounds, man. I'm looking good, more slim. I think I'm going to do well like this. Coach is like, okay, let's see what you do. See what you can do. If you can handle it and take the poundage you're going to get, take the hits, shoot, why not? Let's see it. So I think, we understand Pinkston, he's a good running backs coach. Wouldn't have any problem as far as dealing with that. He understands how guys are. So they're trying to find this out together. But if Pacheco's saying, look, this is what I ran out in college and this is what I want to do, hey, man, let's see. Let's see what he can do with it, okay?
Yeah. And Alta Brown agrees with the theory that, you know, he could be more of a passing down back this year, staying on the field for all three downs. And there you go. He could be maybe getting light for that.
My thing is, he had a lot of – I mean, he was out there majority of time anyway.
That's true.
It wasn't like he was really coming out.
That's true.
So, I mean, but how much more do you want it to be? You don't want to wear him out, especially with the shoulder injury that he had, you know, labrum. And, look, let's make sure that – and they'll manage it. They'll manage it. So I think CEH does a good job of coming in. What he did last year fits well with what they do. My thing is, if you do have a bigger back for maybe, you know, a couple of yards here, tough yards there, so be it. But this is, I think Pacheco, I don't question anything that he's doing with his own body. I think he understands it. He knows he's good at 206, so I'm going to trust it. I'm going to trust it. So.
And right now, looking at just the running back room, because this week they released Hassan Hall to get Mecole Hardman on the roster. So running backs, as we stand right now, Pacheco, Emini Bailey, the rookie from TCU, CEH, Keontae Ingram from USC, also played with the Cardinals last year, Isaiah Pacheco and Denaric Prince, LRZ, everyone's favorite, and Carson Steele, running back fullback hybrid from UCLA. A lot of people are loving Carson Steele, the ability to be a running back and fullback kind of guy, hybrid type. I mean, the fullback could be back. I guess that remains to be seen. JD, yeah. if you're willing to bet, do you think they'll go with the roster spot for Carson Steele to be this hybrid running back fullback guy?
It definitely could be. Definitely could be. Like I said, man, it's pretty early. right now, but he can definitely play a position. He can definitely be that guy. Plus, he could play special teams. I know that he's a special teamer that wouldn't mind coming in and taking some of those reps either. So I think that's what you have to look at, too, is that third back or fourth guy. Is he going to be that special teams guy? That's very important. That's what McKinnon was doing when he was here, you know? So if you're not doing anything special teams as the third player, man, look, you might be out of luck. So your versatility is very important as far as, like, trying to get a roster spot. So that's where that's going to lie. That's really the competition. Who plays special teams more? Right. So
yeah. I know. I mean, I remember Sherman was on all special teams when he was on the team. So the fullback would played a big part in that.
Absolutely. Got to. So Keontae Ingram, they got him at 6'2", 220. So he's a bigger dude.
Big, yeah.
Shoot.
So maybe they want to check to cut some weight, and he'll be the our big back, maybe.
Yeah. Like you said, it opens up the pass game with these things too. So good. So, Nude is still LRZ. Nude, I see, man. You're an LRZ guy, brother. LRZ. I appreciate it. Look, I like LRZ too. So, we have to see. We're going to push for him. Look, LRZ is going to have a place here. We'll see how he's going to figure into everything as well. He cannot learn 100 plays. He's going to learn 20 plays. That's all he needs to learn, 20 plays. But he's going to learn the entire offense. That's required. So, but I think he's going to bring something to the table. So I like LRZ too. So LRZ could be there. Man, look, there's going to be some good competition, man. There's going to be some really good competition in training camp. We'll just have to see. And Marcus, listen, everybody was talking about how great your interview was. We got to talk about going out there for training camp this year, my brother, okay? All right, so everybody can hear it here first. Me and Mark is going to try to put something down to go out to training camp this past year. All right. So he's got to put his skills at work. Okay.
This
episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
JD on the field. That's what we're going to see.
Of course, yeah. So you might see me go put my hand in the dirt. Run out for a pass.
Well,
so.
I was talking about the field as far as the reporting field. that microphone.
That's why, of course.
we can do that too. Get out there, teach some of the young bucks how it's done.
Well, I was gonna tell you to throw me the football or something.
Sure. We do that too. We do it all, JD.
Do it all. Yeah. I saw them jokers out of block. That's for sure.
Yeah. Lord knows the some of these young tight ends need that extra blocking tight end coaching. Mm-hmm. All right, guys. Well, that does it for us. We hope you guys enjoyed our episode here talking about all things Chiefs in this episode. Obviously, we love the engagement that we got. Newt, never stop being you, man. Like, continue to press the LRZ. Wear the LRZ number one fan base on your sleeve, buddy. Yeah, LRZ.
Love it, Luke. Hey, look, keep it up. Love it. You know, that's the way, man, to get that, keep getting that name out there, driving it, talking to LRZ. I think he's getting better. I said, the more reps he gets, the better off he's going to be. Like you said, the bright lights and stuff is not going to worry. So it's just, it's a different environment. It's going to be a whole different environment for him. So he'll be fine. He'll be fine. But just want to say, everybody, man, appreciate the engagement tonight. Appreciate it. Neff, good seeing you. I always keep me in stitches as well. You know, I'm the Brown, Charles Driver, Nuke, Wendy, Illy Beeman. Appreciate you, brother. Peace on you. Let me see who else we got in here. Melly Matrix, Rama Biff, Pono, Donna. Let me see who else we had, you know. Appreciate it. Donna, who else? Who else we got here? Lacey Snake. All right, Lacey. I said you cook some pudding, some banana pudding, some pudding. All right, sweetie. Love you. Love you. Ty Toe Free. Everybody else. Hey, look. Y'all have a good night. Appreciate y'all coming out, talking to us, engaging. As always, Caesar, your input as well. Trying to go through as real quick. Who else we got in here? You know, Cliff. Shoot, Lewis Cutbirth. You know, everybody. Y'all know how we feel about y'all. Love y'all. Love y'all to death. Fellas right here with everything. Marcus, man, appreciate it, brother. But it was a great, great reporting. Keep going back today. Great reporting. You get something else in the works, man. We're going to get out there a little bit more. All right?
For sure. For sure. Okay. We hope everyone has a good weekend, and we'll see you guys on Monday.
Yep.
Take it easy, everybody.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for watching. Subscribe here to get the latest from the show. Also, be sure to check out the best clips from Chief Concerns. And if you prefer to listen to the show, subscribe and follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.